And I'm not even joking. I saw a recent survey that indicated practicing Christians were more likely to trust AI than the average person. I hope we're not getting and searching AI for all of our spiritual answers. Hearing God's voice is not easy. Making sure it is His voice is essential. Get it wrong saying the Lord has said this or God has told me that and be wrong is a serious business. In the Old Testament, prophets who spoke falsehoods were condemned to death. And the third commandment, not to take the Lord's name in vain, is about much more than simply using God's or Jesus' name as a swear word. But when He speaks, and when we listen, and when we know it is truly His voice, it will be life-changing and life-transforming. But I just want to, before we consider how God spoke to Samuel, be clear. God has already spoken to us clearly and vividly in the person of Jesus Christ and through the pages of the Bible. This is always the first place to search. And if there is a claim or of a specific word of God, it will never contradict what we read in Scripture. But of course, there are times when it's a specific matter of guidance that we are searching God's will for. And we want Him to say something really specific. We want His answers on a postcard. And you need to be a certain age to know why that phrase used to be on the TV all the time, didn't it? And although this passage is about God speaking, we should also know it's not definitive. There are other examples of God speaking in other ways throughout the Bible, from burning bushes to bright, blinding lights. So what can we learn from how He talks to Samuel? How Samuel hears God's voice? And what can we learn about how Eli hears the voice of God? Because he does too, actually, in this passage. But Samuel, the first thing we must know is he hears the voice of God in an age where the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. We need to remember that God chooses His timing. There are times when God doesn't speak or speaks infrequently. We cannot take it for granted that He is going to speak and give us a specific answer just because we want Him to or it suits our timing. We know that Samuel's mother had dedicated her son to God as a mark of gratitude for his arrival. And it is years later that this incident occurs. He is performing duties in the temple, so it is unlikely that he is especially young boy. And there is in the previous chapter to this story, the comment that the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. While she was having three sons and two daughters, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. So we have this inference of years passing. It's the transition passage between his childhood and adulthood, so he is likely to be quite a bit older, not the young boy that perhaps sometimes gets envisaged. So hearing the voice of God and growing in enough maturity to hear it is a slow, slow process. It takes patience and an acceptance that God's timing is the right timing. We cannot simply conjure up a word from God at our will. This is not to say that God is deliberately withholding his direction, but let us not be so impatient to hear his voice that we don't pause and stop and wait on him, so that we make sure we're not getting ahead of his spirit. There is a reason that in Psalms we read, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. If we remember that it's not just that sense of all just sitting nice and calmly, it's actually the words "be still" are what Jesus said to rebuke the wind and the waves. Be still, stop what you are doing. acknowledge that I am God. Be still and acknowledge his sovereignty over all things, including the timing of when he answers our prayers. And secondly, we can note that God interrupts. God calls out to Samuel when he was asleep. Just as God's voice cannot be conjured up when we want it or are impatient for it, we should sometimes be aware that he speaks when we are least expecting it. But perhaps for Samuel, part of his timing was to choose that point where he was quiet and still. When there wasn't the bustle and the noise of what was going on in the temple. And I wonder whether sometimes we miss God's voice because of the noise of the world and the distractions in our lives make it hard to hear. Taking the time to quieten ourselves before God usually means that we are more likely to hear God. Of course, the fact that God interrupted Samuel in his sleep doesn't mean that Samuel was doing anything inappropriate or wrong, that he missed it the first two times. He wasn't deliberately closing his ears to the Lord. I mean, as we've said, he was already serving in the Lord. His life was already a life of dedication. And of course, there's nothing wrong with getting sleep and rest. That is part of God's plan. But it was a dramatic, godly interruption. And sometimes that is how God gets our attention. It was a godly, dramatic interruption for Moses with the burning bush, for Paul with that dramatic, blinding light. And just as we need to be patient and wait on the Lord, perhaps we also need to learn and recognize his voice when it comes at a time when we are least expecting it. He sometimes confronts us in a way that is impossible to ignore. For many of us, that might be the first time that we responded to his call to become a follower of Jesus. That moment when the call, the reality of the Christian faith just became impossible to ignore. We might think of the experience of the disciples. They were going about their ordinary lives and Jesus simply said, "Come, follow me." Or it might be a call to just develop and grow into what we are already doing for God. Because that is what happened for Samuel. It didn't take him out of what he was already doing like it did for the disciples. They changed jobs. But for Samuel, it was a deepening and a developing of a life that was already rooted in service of God. He was called into something the same but different. What this moment did was to grow and mature his ministry in a profound way, to go from being a servant in the temple to being a true prophet of God. This was the start of his prophetic ministry. And when you study the life of Samuel, you will, if you've not done it before, or you know the story. He goes on to usher in a new era of spiritual maturity in the people of Israel. So when God interrupts, don't always expect it to be a completely new direction like the disciples. It might be, but it might not be. The important thing is to be ready and willing to respond when God does interrupt, whether that's a new thing or developing the service that we already offer. And thirdly, God doesn't give up. At first, Samuel didn't recognize it was God's voice. He mistakes it for Eli's and is twice sent back to bed. Yet God, in his mercy, gives him yet another chance to hear. Sometimes we can get the idea that if we miss it, then God doesn't give us another chance. But he is not about to let his purposes get thwarted just because we are dull of hearing. Samuel was struggling to hear because he hadn't yet learnt to recognize the voice of God. In verse 7, we read, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." This was an important part in his journey. And this reminds us that we all need to learn to hear the voice of God. We need to hear what he sounds like in order to hear his voice. And we do that, of course, through the pages of Scripture. We have this great advantage over Samuel that we have the revelation of God in the life of Jesus Christ. When you look at Jesus, you look at God. When you read the words that God spoke in the pages of Scripture, we are reading that Jesus spoke. That is how God speaks. Jesus is God. So if you are struggling to hear God's voice, it might not be because he is not speaking to you. It might be because you don't realize it. So in the quiet of that night, the difference it made for Samuel was that he stopped assuming it was Eli. He was guided to say, actually, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So he stopped, opened his ears, and waited. And it was only then that he heard and heard very clearly what God was saying. God persisted until Samuel adjusted his spiritual posture. This is the character of God. He is merciful and patient. And we need to make sure that our spiritual posture is one that we can hear him. But I wonder how many of us have cause to be thankful for his patience in dealing with us. Rather than missing that moment, we can look back and be grateful that God held on and God persisted. But what about Eli? I said at the beginning of this that he hears God's voice too. Of course he did. He just had to hear it through Samuel. To Eli, God's voice had Samuel's accent. And whilst it might be lovely to think we could all have that same direct conversation with God like Samuel did, where the Lord stood in front of him and gives him very clear, impossible to misunderstand information, it doesn't always work like that. Well, not in my experience. I'm hitting the microphone. Not in my experience, or at least. Of course, God may still do that. He is the same God. But we must also recognize that Samuel was this particular child. He was dedicated from before birth. It was a particular blessing for Samuel that God dealt with him in that way and with that message. He went from being a servant in the temple to one of God's leading prophets, as a leader, a spiritual leader in the whole of the Israelite people. But at that point, he was being mentored by Eli. He was subordinate to Eli, and yet Eli was the one who then had to hear a difficult message through this young man. It cannot have been easy for Eli to hear what Samuel told him, but he was contrite enough to accept it, acknowledge that Samuel really was speaking truly from God. And Eli recognized the holiness of God, even though the message must have been so challenging to hear. The passage even says that Samuel prophesies that what God will do will make the ears of all who hear about it tingle. What God is going to do to Eli's family will make the ears of all who hear about it tingle. So when God speaks, it might just be a tough message as well as a comforting one. It might be something we do not want to hear, but Eli's example of humility and not blaming the messenger meant he was able to hear God's message to him. He may not have been the one visited in the night, but he trusted that Samuel's experience was genuinely of God. He would have witnessed and known the sincerity of Samuel's heart from the life of service that Samuel was already living. And Eli accepted it as truly the words of a prophet. If we are unsure of what God is saying in a particular season of life or situation, or seeking a new direction, I would urge you to go to somebody who you trust has a sincere heart and who will not be afraid to give you a hard message if needed, and ask them to pray about whatever it is. When I was exploring whether I was being called to become a minister, it was the prayers and support, but also the honesty of those around me that was a real help in affirming that I was doing what God wanted me to do. And if there's a particular desire in your heart, the advice I was given and that I would echo is go to somebody who you think might say automatically no. And if they say yes, then that's a big help. But go to somebody whose heart is sincere and who you trust will pray for an honest answer. The prayers and wisdom of others were so important to me then, and continue to be so. So when we are seeking God's voice, first and foremost, I'll repeat again, we need to understand that his voice is found in Scripture and in the person of Jesus Christ. But if you feel that his voice, like the times in which Samuel and Eli were living, is rare, it does not mean he has ceased to speak. It may be that he has already spoken. But let us be like Samuel. Let us be patient, live a life of service. Let us find that time to be still. Let us be sensitive to his voice, that we allow him to interrupt us. And let us be humble to hear his voice speaking to us through others, even when it might be a hard message to hear. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray that we would be attentive to your voice. Forgive us when we are dull of hearing, when we are distracted and too busy, when our agenda is more important and we can't allow you to interrupt. Help us to still our hearts and our minds, to tune ourselves into a spiritual posture that receives your word. And Lord, help us be humble to accept the guidance of others, to help us discern when you are speaking and what you are saying. And Lord, for those whom we love, for those who have refused your call, who are resisting your invitation, Lord, we pray, make yourself impossible to ignore. In your mercy and in your love, in your patience, we ask humbly, Lord, please continue to call out to those whom we love, but who have not responded. And we pray all those things in the name of Jesus. Amen.